Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 136. Let's cook creamy mac and cheese. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning new things, and making good food. And that's what today's episode is all about. It's been a few episodes since I've done a live cooking one. So I thought, why not jump into the kitchen and let's make some mac and cheese. Now, the reason I love cooking mac and cheese, one, it's relatively simple and it's a lot better than the stuff you can get in the box. And two, it starts off with a bechamel sauce, which is a really good sauce to learn how to make as a home cook because it's one of the mother sauces. And once you have a bechamel sauce down, you can adapt it into all sorts of other sauces. Today being a perfect case in point, we're going to turn it into a great cheesy sauce to go with our macaroni noodles to make a really killer mac and cheese. And you know, mac and cheese, it's mac and cheese season, right? Cookouts, barbecue, grilling, potlucks. And really, where doesn't mac and cheese fit into all of that? If you haven't listened to one of these live cook-through episodes before, this is where I take a recipe from beginning to end. Of course, it's not video, it's audio only, but I cook it from beginning to end and record everything. And let me just say, if you're like an auditory sensation type of a person, there's a ton of really interesting cooking sounds in this episode. Not least of which is a near constant metal whisking sound. So I hope that doesn't bother you too much. But hey, that's what it sounds like when you're cooking homemade mac and cheese. I did have an overzealous salesperson that kept knocking on the door and ringing the doorbell, which I had to run out of the kitchen to take care of really quickly. So I did edit that part out. But other than that, it's full and complete cooking mac and cheese. Now, before we get into that, I want you to know that the show notes and the recipe for this episode are over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/136. So head over there if you want to get the lowdown and the recipe to make this mac and cheese. I still recommend listening to the episode, even if you do go get the recipe, because I do offer some other insights and hints and tips and things like that. If you'd like to send me feedback directly, you can do so at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Of course, you can always find me on Twitter at TKC Podcast or Facebook, and especially our Facebook group. Been a little bit busy lately, so I haven't been in there a whole lot, but I'm going to hop back in there real soon and post some new stuff. And you can find that over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Okay, now two other really quick things before I turn it over to past Roger to go through the mac and cheese recipe. You know, when I get to doing these live cook-throughs, I have all these things I want to talk about, and invariably, I always end up forgetting a lot of the stuff I want to talk about because I just kind of get in the moment. But there's two things I want to mention about this mac and cheese recipe. One is in the recipe, in the cook-through, I'm using whole milk to make my bechamel sauce. Now, you could certainly use a lower fat milk if you wanted to go like 2% or 1%, or you could even do skim milk, though I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. Your sauce won't be as rich and creamy in the end product. So you can do it. Just know that the texture will be a little bit different. In fact, if you want even more decadent and rich and creamy, you could swap out a little bit of the whole milk, say, for some heavy cream, like maybe switch out a half a cup or something like that. So that's one thing. The other thing I didn't go into a whole lot of detail about, you know, the most important part of the recipe, which were the cheeses. I mentioned that I was using a cheddar, a Gruyere, and a Fontina cheese. Of course, those are shredded. But what you want to do when you get your cheeses for your mac and cheese is buy whole cheese, you know, buy block cheese or whatever, and shred it yourself. Don't buy the pre-shredded stuff in the bags. Not that there's anything wrong with that stuff. It just doesn't make for a really good mac and cheese because they coat that cheese with things to make it, you know, not stick together, and it doesn't quite melt as nicely as just, you know, cheese shredded right off the block. Okay, so without further ado, let's jump right into the live cook through of creamy mac and cheese. Hey everybody, Roger here. Today we're making macaroni and cheese, and we're going to make a macaroni and cheese that begins with something like a bechamel sauce. It won't be a perfectly traditional bechamel sauce, but it's going to be close enough. And if you follow this through, and if you head over to the website, which I will have already mentioned the show notes, for this episode, you can get the recipe for this mac and cheese. And I've talked about bechamel before, but I'm excited about it because I'm cooking it live today. Really easy sauce, and you know, it's something as a home cook you should definitely be familiar with. So let me run down this ingredient list for macaroni and cheese. You know, the reason I love mac and cheese so much is it's a great side dish, it's a great main dish. It takes endless variation. You can pretty much do whatever you want with mac and cheese. And if you use the recipe that I'm going to start with today as sort of a basic or a jumping off point, there's all sorts of things you can do to your mac and cheese to make it more grown up, more savory, and more interesting. Or you can just eat it generally like regular old mac and cheese, which is also awesome. Now, I know some of you, probably in the South especially, have very particular ways to make your mac and cheese, so I can already anticipate some of you might be groaning when I do or do not do something that you anticipate I do when I make this mac and cheese, but that's okay. Not everything has to be perfectly the same, right? But let me run down the ingredient list here. So, it's macaroni and cheese, so of course we're going to start with dry pasta, and in this case I'm using elbow macaroni. Feel free to use penne pasta or shells or cavatappi or any other interesting pasta you want to use. I've got about 3 cups of dry elbow macaroni. And you know what? Before I go through the rest of the ingredient list, I'm actually going to get this cooking because I have not cooked it yet. I've got some water just coming up to a boil here on the stovetop. And you know, if you're going to make this recipe, I would recommend either having a helper that can sort of keep an eye on the pasta while you're cooking the bechamel and the cheese sauce, or cooking it ahead of time. I'm doing this a little awkwardly because I want to cook it all live. But you know, when you're messing around with your roux and your bechamel, you don't want to be running around draining pasta and doing that sort of stuff. I'm going to try to wing it today though. So the first thing here I'm going to do is get about 3 cups of dry macaroni boiling. The water's almost ready. So the other ingredients, we're going to be making a roux, so we're going to need some butter and some all-purpose flour, about 1/4 cup each. That's about 1/2 stick of butter typically in the United States. For our liquid component, we're going to be using whole milk, so I have about 2.5 cups of that, plus a little more, because oftentimes what I find as I'm making a bechamel sauce, if it gets a little thicker than I want, I can use a little extra milk to thin it out. So I always have that on hand. For seasonings, we're going to use some dry mustard, about a teaspoon of dry mustard powder, about 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, a pinch of cayenne pepper, and about 1 teaspoon of salt, and maybe about 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. Again, as you make this, you might season it differently to taste, depending on what you like. I've got about 3.5 to 4 cups of cheese. Today I'm using cheddar, fontina, and gruyere. And that's pretty much it. My water's boiling, so I'm gonna go ahead and put my pasta in. And I'll give it a stir so it doesn't all stick to the bottom as it comes back up to heat. And I've salted this water quite heavily. Again, you want enough water in there where your pasta is sort of flowing freely when it comes back to a boil. And you want it nice and salty. How much? I don't really have an exact measurement. It just depends on how much water you're using. But if you taste your water, not while it's boiling, of course, it should taste pretty salty. One of the sins of screwing up mac and cheese is having it under seasoned, because under seasoned mac and cheese can actually turn out quite bland. So you want your pasta to pick up some of the salt from that water. My pasta directions say 7 minutes for al dente. So I'm actually going to timer for 6. And then we'll keep an eye on that. So now I'm going to go ahead and put my butter into the pan and let that start melting. Now, one of the things you don't want to do is have a really, really hot pan, because it will brown up the butter. And what we want to do for this bechamel is make a white or a very light roux. So we're not looking for a brown butter. And when we add the flour in, we're not looking for the flour, for the roux to get darker. And we certainly don't want it to burn. And when you're making a roux, you really do need to pay attention to what's happening in your saucepan. Because it's something where, you know, if the doorbell rings or you got to run to the other room to see what's happening on your TV show or whatever, it can get away from you really quickly, and then you're probably going to be full of regrets because your roux is going to burn. And then once that happens, you've got to start over from scratch. Now, that's not to say that if you cook a roux for quite a while, it won't get dark, but that's different from burning. That's just creating a dark roux. The longer you cook a roux with the flour, stirring it as you go, the darker it will get, and it will add a lot more flavor to whatever your final dish is. A roux here is going to be used for thickening. And interestingly, the longer you cook a roux, the darker a roux goes, the less thickening power it has. But for us, for the bechamel sauce, it's just going to be a real light roux. My butter is almost all the way melted as soon as it's all out. Going to go ahead and take my quarter cup of all-purpose flour. I'm using my whisk here. And my butter's all nice and liquidy. I'm dropping the flour in all at once. I'm going to start stirring it. And the first thing you're going to notice is that your butter and your flour, which when you make a roux, you want approximately the same amount of each. So we're doing a quarter cup of each. It's going to turn into something that looks kind of like wet sand, or kind of almost hot wet sand, or what you might imagine like lava might look like if you could ever get up close to it. And you're going to want to stir it constantly, and you want to make sure you get your whisk into the corner of your saucepan. You're constantly stirring because you don't want any little spots to burn. My pan's a little hot, so I'm going to turn it down to about medium heat. So constantly stirring. And again, we're doing a light roux here, which means we're going to do a light roux here, which means we're only cooking it just long enough for the flour to kind of cook out its raw flavor, which might just be a couple of minutes as I'm stirring it with the whisk here. Now, the next step for this sauce is going to be adding the milk as soon as we're ready with our roux here. Some folks will tell you to use hot milk or heated up milk. Some folks will tell you to use hot or heated up milk. I'm just going to use kind of room temperature milk. It's been sitting out for a little while. It doesn't make all that much of a difference because I'm going to add it in small quantities. So my roux is about ready. I just got a warning on the timer for the pasta. So I'm going to try to time it so as I'm adding the milk, I can take a quick break, drain that pasta. I've got a colander set up in the sink. I'm just going to drain it real quick. First things first, I'm going to add a little bit of milk. Start stirring furiously. Now, what you'll notice when you do this, I'm going to add maybe a quarter, maybe a half a cup of milk, is it'll appear to seize up, like your roux will get really lumpy and milk will get really lumpy. And that's okay. Just keep stirring it like crazy, because as you add more milk, I'm like slowly pouring in and probably about another quarter to half a cup of milk here. And you keep stirring, it'll smooth up. So don't worry if it gets really lumpy right away. I'm going to turn the heat down just for a second. I'm going to go ahead and drain my pasta. Looks about right. I'm going to set my pasta kettle empty now. I'm just going to set it on a trivet so it cools down, because I'm just going to end up putting the pasta back into it while getting the rest of this ready. Okay, I'm going to turn off the timer now. All right, in goes more milk. Now you're going to use the entire 2.5 cups here. And as you're stirring and whisking, now I've got a really nice texture here. coming along with this bechamel, semi-bechamel sauce. A little more milk goes in. I don't like to pour in all the milk at once because it takes so darn long for the sauce to end up heating up. Because what you want to do is bring this to just about almost to a boil, I would say. And the goal here, once you get all the milk in it, stirring around, getting all the corners, the goal here is that if you were to take like a metal spoon and just dip the back of that spoon in the sauce and pull it out, you want a sauce that'll cling to the back of that spoon. And one of the best tests, if you're not sure what that means exactly, is once the back of that spoon is coated, you just kind of drag your finger across it. And if it leaves a little valley and nothing kind of runs in and it closes back up or whatever, if that makes sense, that's about where you want to be. So now I've got about a half a cup of milk left. Add that in just a second. Now, bechamel, let's talk about this real quick. It's a mother sauce, which means you can start with a bechamel sauce and turn it into several other types of sauces. Now, a traditional bechamel, I would be adding probably in some nutmeg and some ground white pepper to this, but I'm not going to do that since I'm going to take it right to mac and cheese territory. But, you know, if you've ever made like a sausage, like a white sausage gravy, you're doing probably a similar thing to kind of a bechamel sauce. You're probably starting out with a roux, and you're probably maybe even using the sausage fat. Maybe you pre-cook the sausage, and you're using the fat for that, for the roux instead of the butter, which, or a combination, you know, part fat, part butter. You could do that. It'll give you a little bit more flavor in your final dish. But bechamel sauces can also be adapted into things like a cream sauce. So you could add some heavy cream towards the end of cooking. You'll have a delicious cream sauce that you could use. Great for cooking casseroles, you know, like a cream of mushroom soup. You could put some mushroom in there and you'd have almost like a great little mushroom cream sauce you could use for casseroles. You could make a sous vide sauce, which is like a bechamel onion sauce. You could add some pureed onions. Also great for making casseroles, but goes great with chicken as well, pork as well. Or you could go the Mornay route, which is kind of what we're going to be doing. A Mornay is a cheese sauce, traditionally with Gruyere, which you got some of that in our bowl, all grated up and ready to go. Again, not a traditional Mornay sauce, but close. The last of the milk, I got to talking. I forgot to stir in the last of the milk. It's in now. Set that aside. All right, I'm going to just cook this for a couple of minutes, stirring the whole time. I'm going to test it with a spoon. Close, very close. It's just almost coming up above a simmer here. Now I'm going to be naughty and jump over the pasta in the colander here and bring it back over and pour it back into my bowl, as it all comes out in one giant clump and almost goes all over the counter. But my shot was true. It went right in the bowl. One thing I'll say, too, about cooking the pasta is for today's demonstration, I am going to assume the mac and cheese is going to get eaten right away. I'm not going to bake it. So I did cook it to nearly al dente. If you're going to bake this pasta, this mac and cheese, you want to undercook your pasta by maybe a full minute or so. It's where if you taste it, it's just a little, it's not crunchy, but it's not like al dente. It's just a little more firm that you got to chew a little bit to get through it. That's about where you want it, because when you bake it with the cheese sauce, it's going to end up cooking that pasta more. And the problem is if you cook it to al dente or a little bit over, if you go to bake it, as you're mixing the cheese sauce into the pasta, it could just like start tearing it and mashing it up, and then you don't have nice elbows anymore. You've got just basically a mishmash, you know, of ripped up pasta and sauce. Not the end of the world. Still tastes fine. Texture is just going to be a little bit off. Okay, so this bechamel sauce, or this white sauce here, I'm doing the spoon test again. It's just running off the spoon a little bit. It just needs a little more work here. And don't rush it, you know. Don't get tempted to crank up the heat to get this thing to a boil faster, because you don't want to risk scorching it. or getting sidetracked and letting it get away from you. And then, you know, once you burn it, once you got little black flecks or anything like that floating in your bechamel sauce, you're kind of done and you got to start over. As you can see so far, it's not been a huge hassle, but you know, it's a little bit of a pain. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago, I've got some seasonings I want to put in here. And for mac and cheese, one of my absolute favorite things to use is ground mustard. There's something about the mustard flavor that makes the cheese sing, especially things like a sharp cheddar cheese. Mustard is so good together. But I've also got a little bit of, as I mentioned, onion powder, garlic powder, salt, pepper, and a little bit of cayenne. Sometimes if you want to go the smoky route, let's say if you're putting bacon in your mac and cheese, maybe some smoked paprika would be nice. Or even regular paprika if you want to give it a little bit of a tint, a little bit of color. Okay, I think our sauce is about ready. Yeah, I think it's about there. I don't know if you can hear it, but if I stop stirring it, you could hear maybe that it's starting to bubble. And you know, it's a little thick, so it's got kind of that, when it pops a bubble, it kind of spews a little hot sauce into the air. So it's a dangerous game in here cooking this white sauce. So now I'm going to put all my seasonings in, stir all that in to combine. Instantly, I can see my white sauce is taking on a little bit of color with all that. Oh, it smells so good. Nice and savory. You could use seasoned salt too, by the way, if you didn't want to use onion powder and garlic powder and salt separately. You could certainly put in some seasoned salt. And I've got some Worcestershire sauce. I like to usually just put a two or three good shots of that in there. There's something about it that just adds a little bit of tang. Kind of works in concert with that ground mustard. Now I'm going to turn my heat down to nearly all the way down to low, because my next step here is I'm going to add the cheese in. See, have I forgotten anything as I'm talking here? No, I think I'm good. So now the cheese is going to go in. I put a little handful in at a time, maybe 3/4 cup or so at a time. And I want to get that in there, and I want to stir that in with the whisk until it's nice and melted. As soon as that handful is melted, I'm going to toss another in. If you were going to bake the mac and cheese, which I'm, like I said, not going to do here, I would reserve a little bit of cheese back to sprinkle on the top as it bakes to get kind of nice and you know, browned up on top. You could throw some breadcrumbs or something on top too. Crumbled up potato chips, that's always pretty good. And if you don't have breadcrumbs. Wow, this sauce, oh, it smells so good. That mustard, I can just smell the mustard coming up, and then when the cheese goes in and melts, I can tell this is just going to be outrageously good. All right, last of the cheese is going in. Stir it up until it's nice and smooth. Grab my phone and try to take a picture of this. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to take the sauce and I'm going to mix it in to the pasta. Now, if you're worried that you don't get your proportions just right, like you've got not enough pasta or too much pasta in relation to sauce, if you're winging it a little bit, you can always do this in a separate bowl. You know, add some pasta and then some sauce and keep adding each other in and mixing it up just to make sure you don't, you know, pour all your sauce into the pasta and then find out you didn't have enough sauce and then you've got this kind of dry mac and cheese. That would be kind of a bummer, yeah? We don't want that to happen. I'm going to add just a little bit of milk to this sauce because it's thickening up a little bit and I don't want it too thick. You know, the other thing about this sauce, it will change kind of in composition depending on what you do with it. If you eat it hot, if you eat it right away, it's going to stay pretty creamy. If you were to bake it, you know, by the time you get it in your casserole dish and baked, it could thicken up a bit. It might not be quite so creamy. It's nothing wrong with that. But just keep that in mind. So if you wanted to make this the day before, you could certainly prep everything, put it in a casserole dish, cover it, put it in the fridge, and then pop it in the oven About 350 for maybe 30, 35, 40 minutes until it gets nice and bubbly and browned on top. If you're going to make it a day before, though, I would almost recommend just upping the quantity of sauce by maybe 10, 15%, because that pasta will absorb it, you know, as it sits in the fridge overnight. And again, you don't want a dry mac and cheese. Okay. I am pouring the sauce into the noodles. And boy, oh boy, it looks pretty, pretty good. If you have no willpower, that's what's great about this. You can just dish it up and eat it straight away. You don't want to have to wait for it to get baked. You know, I also mentioned a minute ago ways you can make this more grown up, or you can change the flavors. I was thinking when I was talking about that sous vide sauce with the onions in it, wouldn't mac and cheese with like caramelized onions mixed into it be pretty outrageous? I think that would be good. I've not tried that, but I think I might try that someday. You know, vegetables like peas, broccoli, you could even put a little cauliflower in here, spinach. Of course, bacon is always a classic. And in fact, one of my favorite things to do is to make bacon ahead of time and then reserve the bacon grease and use that in the roux instead of butter, or maybe a 50-50 sort of a thing. But you don't need to go 100% butter if you're going to have mac and your mac and cheese. You could just use the bacon fat, which would be pretty awesome. And spices. You can get really creative with the spices you put in your mac and cheese. Of course, you could make like a Southwestern mac and cheese with chili powder and cumin, maybe some chipotle, bell peppers, maybe diced up. If you're going to put veggies or anything else for that matter in your mac and cheese, just make sure they're pretty much cooked before you put them in, because adding them into the oven or adding them into the mac and cheese and then baking in the oven, that's not really going to cook anything, especially meat. You got to make sure your meat is cooked ahead of time. All right, I'm going to try this. My cat just smelled this and he bolted over here. One of the cats, Slade. Sorry, Slade. All right. Smells pretty good. I'm going to take a bite. Pretty good. It needs a little more salt and pepper. So make sure when you taste your mac and cheese, you're adjusting for that as well, because like I said, under seasoned mac and cheese is kind of bad news. Give that a stir. And all right. And that's it. That is how easy it is to make mac and cheese. And while I'm talking, I'm taking another bite. Perfect. That's how easy it is to make a creamy, delicious mac and cheese, starting with a white bechamel style sauce. I will put the recipe up in the show notes. And if you give it a try, let me know. Boy, I just took a second bite and I did not put much cayenne in there at all. Just a liberal pinch, but it definitely has a tang to it. It's surprising. Anyway, thanks for listening. And until next time, I'm Roger and happy cooking. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun to make. I hope you see how simple it is to make mac and cheese, and even how simple it is really to make a roux and a bechamel sauce. It sounds so intimidating. Everybody talks about roux and how complicated they are. They're really not complicated if you're just careful and pay attention to them. And I hope that came through in this episode. Once again, if you want the recipe, kitchencounterpodcast.com/136. And you can find it there. If you end up making a mac and cheese, head over to the Facebook group, share it there, throw me a picture on Twitter, or send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. All right, everybody. Well, that's going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening and sharing the show with your friends and going on Apple Podcasts and leaving a rating and review and all that stuff. I really, really, really appreciate and love all you guys to death. So thank you so much for doing that. New episodes coming soon. I'll have quite a few coming out in June, and I'll be heading to New Orleans. So be looking for some special episodes around that coming up in the next several weeks, a month or so. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Once again, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.